If you will, pray with me, and then I'm going to ask you to consider one of the passages that John read for you this evening from Philippians 2. It's not your typical Christmas sermon, but it is a Christmas passage nonetheless. So let's pray, and let's ask God, who has been there for an eternity, who sent His eternal Son into the world to speak to us by His Spirit, that we might see the beauty of Christmas and the humility of the saving One. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we do delight to come this evening. It is remarkable to consider that the very Son, eternal, has condescended to us, taking on humanity, in the likeness of human flesh, coming as a child, that we might be saved from our desperate and depraved condition. Father, we thank You for Christ. And we celebrate this Christmas in the beauty of His deity, the humility of His humanity, that we might see this child as You see him, the Savior of all mankind. Father, draw us near, that we might draw near in Jesus, that we might rejoice that we have a Savior King, that we might exalt Him the way You have exalted Him and honor Him. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Two passages this evening from Philippians 2 and from 2 Corinthians 8, we get a picture of the coming of a Savior. God Himself answering our predicament by taking on human flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, we have Paul saying this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich." And then in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 2, again of Philippians, speaking of Christ, who though He was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's a story from generations, actually centuries ago, of one king who had conquered another. It's been told before. But a king, a certain king, had a great kingdom, and he came a-conquering, and he conquered a vassal king. That king was brought before him. In the generations past, centuries past, it was not uncommon that when one king conquered another, humiliation was at the top of the list. And so in order to humiliate the conquered king, the conquering king brought him into his presence, into his court, before all of his courtiers and all of his people, and he gave this conquered king an opportunity. As life and kingdom had been stripped for him, he gave him an opportunity to claim one. He told this king that he could claim one. He could claim his life, he could claim the life of his kingdom, or he could claim his queen's life. The king who had been conquered thought for a moment, and as he pondered the options before him, he looked at the man who had defeated him, and he said to him, "As to my life, it is yours, O king, I care not more for it. As to my kingdom, it already belongs to you. But if you would, save my wife. She is the dearest to me." The conquering king was so taken by the one that he had conquered that he in turn returned to him all that had been his. He returned to him his kingdom, of course, as a vassal king under this great king. He returned to him his wife, and they were let go. He gave to him his life. On returning to his land, to his kingdom, that king had been very taken by the man who had conquered him. And he was talking incessantly to his wife about the one who had conquered him. And he asked her, had she noticed his royalty? Had she noticed his kindness and how he had dealt with him? Had she noticed how people came to his beck and call and the magnificence of his court? To which the queen said that she had seen none of it. She could not see it because she had been captivated by the one who would give his life for hers. Have you been captivated by the one who would give his life for yours? At the heart of Christmas. At the heart of Christmas is this story, a king who has come to give his life for yours. And so we celebrate the beauty of Christmas. Even as we celebrate the humility of the humanity of Christ. Kings humble kings when they are victorious. But Jesus humbled himself, though he was equal with God, had the very form of God, the equality, the greatness, the power, the essence of God. He humbled himself, taking the form of a servant, making himself man, being born of a virgin, to give himself for us, that we might be captivated by the one who has given himself for us. Christmas is about a king. About a king who descends out of the throne room of heaven, from his rightful chair, into a manger. The infinite, into infancy, for us, that we might delight to be His, to rejoice in Him. You see, at the heart of the incarnation, God becoming man, Jesus, the Son of God, taking on human flesh, the Savior coming among us, is the humbling act of Him becoming like us. Humanity, the humanity that Jesus took, was humility for Him. And in our text here, Paul is telling us that Jesus didn't grasp at what was His, but willingly gave Himself, emptying Himself, making Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Humanity. The humanity of Jesus was the Savior being wrapped in humility. You know, in the gospel stories, take Luke for instance, in Luke chapter 2, when the shepherds were told of Jesus, they were told that they would find a child wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in the manger. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths. But no less, Jesus in His humanity, when He took on human flesh, He was wrapped in humility. He humbled Himself for us. The King of Kings, who had everything, came to us, made Himself low that we might be lifted up, made Himself poor that we might become rich. See, at the heart of Christmas is this. Jesus is wrapped in humility for us. Why? Because Christmas displays His journey for our relationship. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, eternally begotten, not made, has been forever and will be forever. But He entered humanity. And Christmas is a display of His journey downward for our relationship. He made Himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant. You see, the lengths that God has gone to have relationship with us. Where does Jesus come from? From the very throne of God. He is God. What has Jesus come to? He has come to be robed in humanity that He might live the life we should have lived, die the death we should have died, and be raised up for our salvation. Christmas doesn't terminate with Christmas. Christmas is the beginning of Jesus' salvation walk for us. The beginning of His friendship to us. You know, a good friend is one who lets you in and doesn't let you down. And Jesus entered time and space for us to take on humanity, to befriend humanity, that the glory of God might be displayed and the peace of God might be shared. There's no greater friendship than that. Jesus humbled Himself that we might know relationship with Him. It was a downward journey to solidify relationship. He did not consider equality with something to be grasped, made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Jesus, who had been eternally praised, takes on infancy, finds Himself in a manger with a few mangy shepherds who come and praise. The eternal glory that He has received is echoed in the heavens by the angels, is witnessed by some shepherds, but Jesus has descended, has humbled Himself for our sake. Jesus in the incarnation is wrapped in humility for us. It's the journey He makes for our salvation. He came and humbled Himself. He emptied Himself. Now, He emptied Himself here not by taking off, but by putting on. You know, tonight I wore my special Pastor Diggs for you. Put on the robe, and underneath that is a tie and a nice shirt and slacks and nice shoes. You know, since we have four seasons in Texas, hot, hotter, and hottest, and a little winter, most of the year on Monday, I don't wear these kind of digs. As a matter of fact, every Monday at the Coleman house is the time when we mow our grass. And so Joshua and I, we put on our least dignified digs. The oldest shoes and the rattiest pants and the holiest shirt. And every once in a while, we go out after we've mowed a yard or two and we have a little lunch and people look at us like yard boys. I know it's hard for you to imagine now, but the dignity of the pastor fits into yard boy clothes pretty well. Now, I'm no less pastor, I'm no less father, I'm no less husband at that point. But sometimes I get treated like a dirty old yard boy. Here's the point I'm trying to make for you. The humility of Christ was that He would put on new digs, as it were. He would take on humanity. It wasn't that Jesus became less than. He was everything He had always been. But He took on human flesh for us. Left the greatness of heaven to join us in the cesspool of our depravity. He put on yard boy clothes, so to speak. For us. You see, at the heart of Christmas, in the essence of the humility of Christ, the beauty of the incarnation is this. Jesus joined us. Jesus drew near. The one who could delight in the eternal praise of all the universe humbled Himself in such a way to be near us. To be the God-man, to be like us, to live for us. Christmas is the display of His journey for our relationship. Because at the heart of Christmas is the display of His humility for our life. Notice, Jesus humbled Himself in taking on human flesh. But our text even takes it further. He did not consider equality something to be grasped. He didn't hold on to what was His. He emptied Himself, made Himself nothing, put on the yard boy clothes, as it were. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human likeness, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death. Jesus' incarnation and His humility. The humility of His incarnation, the humility of His death is our life. Can you be captivated by the one who has given himself for you this evening? You see, the beauty of Christmas is found in the humility of the Savior. Though he deserved everything, though he had everything, made himself nothing, becoming obedient, even obedient to the point of death. Now, some of you are pretty good at being obedient. But none of you are this good at being obedient. Some of you follow rules pretty well, but none of you follow the Father in the way Jesus did. Some of you sense that there is this right way, a law that is to be honored, but you can't keep it. But Jesus did. He humbled himself, becoming obedient. How far did he take that obedience? Even to death. A death on a cross where he stood in our place. Why did Jesus come? To seek, to serve, to save. How did he do that? By giving it all, by laying it down, by humbling himself. The incarnation is the Savior wrapped in humility, living in perfection, walking to his death, that you may live. Can you be captivated by the one who would give his life for yours? You see, at Christmas, we need to see this Jesus. This is the true Jesus. This is the real Jesus. Why? Because Christmas displays his poverty for our wealth. Why? Why are we told by Paul here in Philippians 2 that Jesus came? He came for us. And because he came and laid it all down, God lifted him up. Why are we told by Paul in 2 Corinthians 8, Jesus came? He became poor. We might become rich. Our well-being at Christmas is tied up in the humility, the poverty Jesus took on for us. The sinless, bearing our sin. The infinite, taking on our frailty. The omnipotent, taking on humanity's limits. And yet without sin, for you and for me. That is the friendship that is offered in Christmas. What did Jesus receive in the incarnation? Well, he received a body like ours in all its perfections without sin. And then he received a cross with all our sin. And what do we receive out of the incarnation? We receive the grace of God because Jesus has bridged the gap. Jesus was wrapped in humanity. And that humanity was an expression of his humility to draw us near. And that is true friendship. And Christmas is the call for us to remember a Savior who gave himself for us. An eternal Son who took on flesh for us. A beautiful king who heeded the Father's call for us. The giving king who laid down his life for us. Jesus came and wrapped himself in humility that we might know friendship with God. A friend, a good friend is the one who lets you in. And a good friend is the one who doesn't let you down. And beloved, Jesus this night is the best of friends. And the incarnation is a beautiful celebration of the initiation, historically, where Jesus entered time and space, entered history for us, that we might be his and he might be ours. Be captivated by the beauty of Jesus this evening because he gave it all for you. The joy of Christ, the joy of the mission of Christ, the joy of the humility of Christ is our joy this evening. Pray with me. Father, we come and we acknowledge. We acknowledge the beauty of our Savior. We're thankful for the friendship of Christ. And though He was God, He took on our humanity. We thank You that He humbled Himself that we might be exalted with Him. As You have exalted Him, raise us up in the understanding and love of the beauty of Christ. For we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.